And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today. And one of my goals with the Worldview in 5 minutes and for the Generations Broadcast is that we get something of the truth in the midst of a lot of lies. And I think to understand the truth, we need to understand what is going on in the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. That is, we need a biblical ethic when it comes to things like money and economics, before we can even make judgment calls and value calls concerning what is going on in the world around us. So therefore, we believe that you've got to have a biblical worldview in place to rightly understand what is important, what is not important, what is true about what is going on in the world, what is false about what is going on in the world, what is right and what is wrong. That has to be determined by a biblical ethic. Otherwise, we will not have a right concept of the truth. We won't understand what is true and what is not true. To the law and to the testimony, if it's not according to the law and to the testimony, it's because there is no truth in them or no light in them. So, friends, I did an assessment of inflation on Tuesday's newscast. And I write the Tuesday newscast for the Worldview in 5 minutes. And I try to update folks on what's going on in economics as best as I can. And I did an assessment of inflation just so we would know what is happening to the median income. Used cars, I said, were up 24% year over year. Correction, that's 44%, Bill, as of this morning.
Whoa.
So several days later, it's 44%.
Whoa.
Year over year. So, guys, can you spell hyperinflation? That's where we're headed at this point. Now, the Conference Board has announced the average pay increase for Americans nationwide 2021 at 3%. Now, granted, these stats may not be perfect or have something to do with, you know, surveys done. The Conference Board is saying 3% on average. And that's not going to do much for inflation. Remember, housing is up 19.5% year over year. Used cars are up 44%. Used cars up 44%. Beefsteak is up 22%. Food prices up 5.3% on average. Furniture up 11%. Electricity is up 6.5%. Natural gas is up 28%. Gasoline prices up 30% on average over 2020 prices. That's just going over the full year and comparing it year over year. So based on these numbers, the average inflation rate for 2021, I calculated to 13.8%. But that was based on the 24% on used car. So I'm guessing you're probably pushing closer to 15, 16%. Now, folks can get a hold of my spreadsheet if you'd like, but I'm calculating that the average American is going to live well below where they did in 2020. And the latest inflation run is attributed to the Federal Reserve's $4.5 trillion of money printing that's occurred over the last 21 months. And friends, the 13.8% inflation this year is not going to be compensated for by a 3% average COLA increase for the American workers. What is that then? That's a 10% docking in pay in a single year, Bill. In a single year. That's phenomenal.
We'll end up looking like Venezuela.
Well, that's where we're headed, and we'll give you a reason for that in just a moment. We talked about the $4.5 trillion of money printing, and we'll get back to that. But here's a point that I want to make before I take the break, and that is, you know, the CPI's a joke. You know what they're saying? They're saying, oh, it might be a 4.5, 5.3. No, it's 13.8 minimum, and that's not compensating that for that 44% increase on the price of the average used car. So you're looking at about an 8 to 9% difference between what we're reading and what you're getting as the official number from the United States government. It's just a lie. Bottom line is the government is lying to you. And now we've done this before, but let's take the major expenses since 1975. The average new house in 1975 was $48,000, or based on median income, you'd pay it off in 3.78 years. Okay, so you'd have a house, $48,000. You would earn a certain amount of money, the median income in that year, 1975. you paid off in 3.78 years. If you saved every dime and put it into paying off the house. Now, fast forward to 2021. The average new house is $404,000. Based on median income, that takes you 6 years to pay off. That's almost double. That means inflation has fooled you. You thought you were making more money and your income was staying up with your expenses. That's not true. You're about 75% poorer than you were in 1975 on the basis of housing prices. The average new car was $3,800 in 1975. Take a 0.3 of your median income in a year, meaning 3 months. 0.3, excuse me, that would be about 4 months. Take you about 4 months to pay it off. Now the average new car is $41,000 in 2021. It'd take you 0.6 of your median income of in a year to pay that thing off, which is almost exactly double of what it would have been in 1975. Okay, so we're just bringing the truth out to you folks, just so you understand that we're way, way, way poorer by a factor of about half. We're about half the wealth we had in 1975 on the basis of income. Average public college education in 1975 was $7,276 for 4 years. Take you about 0.57 of your median income in 1975 to pay that thing off. That's about half of a year. You get the whole thing paid off in half a year. Your college education will be taken care of by a median income in half a year. Average college education 2021, take 1.12 of your median income in 2021 to pay it off. You're spending twice as much money per income than you did in 1975. Medical care, of course, is far worse. It would take 0.047 of your median income to handle your medical expenses in a year, including health insurance. That includes health insurance. So it would have been about 4.7%. Now 20.4% of your median income handles your medical expenses and health insurance. That's about four times what you were spending in 1975. You're four times worse off when it comes to medical care expenses, twice worse off when it comes to education, about twice worse off when it comes to automobile expenses, and 75% poorer when it comes to housing expenses. And friends, that was a calculation I pulled together. Now, again, that your average median income drop for the average American household would be somewhere around 50%. In other words, you're about 50% of where you were in 1975 for these major expenses, and that includes about 70% of the average household budget. So now the government is saying, what's the government saying with the PCE and the CPI? Federal Reserve has their PCE, the federal government has the CPI. According to their calculations, you're actually doing slightly better than you were in 1975. All right, so who's right here? Who's got the right numbers here? The government is lying to you. The CPI has nothing to do with cost of living. Nothing. And, hey, thou shalt not steal. That command is steal and stone. By God, it's steal and stone. And it applies to the federal government as much as it applies to you and to me. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. The government lying to you? The CPI has nothing to do with the cost of living, my friends. And Wall Street has also calculated that Americans invest in T-bills, treasury bills, like savings bonds. Americans who, you know, put their money in savings bonds or treasury bills, since 2008 have lost $4 trillion in savings. In just the last year, you've lost $1 trillion in savings into last year. So Americans who have putting their money into T-bills, assuming that 2, 3, 4% cutting it for them, it's not. It's not even making CPI. And, of course, my calculation for inflation is going to be about twice the CPI. We're running about twice the CPI, maybe three times the CPI, somewhere around there. So we're not – our COLAs, our cost of living increases for – the average position, average job for the average person out there is not keeping up with inflation, and I just made that point. But please understand the CPI is a joke. The real inflation rate is closer to twice the CPI. So you probably haven't lost just $4 trillion on your T-bills since 2008. It's probably closer to $8 trillion. That's what I'm saying. So, but if you're just going to go with the government money, or the government calculations for the consumer price index, that is inflation. If you're going to go with that, then you've lost $4 trillion investing in your savings bonds. Don't do it. It's a ripoff. But who buys these savings bonds? Well, international concerns. That's just one way they can somehow maintain the value of their money if they happen to live in Zimbabwe or, you know, some other country in which perhaps their monetary system is even worse than ours. But pension funds, banks, mutual funds, average ordinary widows who have their money in T-bills, savings bonds, basically conservatives, savers, and widows put their money in government bonds, mutual funds, banks, etc. It's the savers are the ones losing their money. But you say, where does the money go? If they're losing the money, where does the money go? Well, it goes back to the debtors. So the savers are giving up their value to the debtors. This is the way the game is played. Now, I hope this little allegory would help. I test drove it on Bill offline. So, Bill, let's give it one more shot, shall we? Here we go.
Sure.
Here's a little allegory to help you understand what's going on here. Suppose you were a king in a small country, and you wanted to become very wealthy and add to your net worth without directly taxing the people. What would you do?
I like this so far.
I like it. You
so
follow
far.
It?
Yeah. I'm a king.
Uh-huh. You're the king.
I want to become wealthy.
And
but I don't want to tax my
And you want to tax the people.
No, I don't want to tax the people.
Now, you could break into everybody's home and rob them at night, but then you'd probably be discovered.
Yeah, it would take a long time. You'd have to be Santa Claus in reverse.
That's a hassle.
You'd have to be the worst Santa Claus.
It's a gigantic hassle. And they might find out about you, and then they would lynch you.
That's true.
So the following approach would be suggested. So here it is. The first thing you must do is establish a private money printing business, which is run by a board of thugs you appoint to the positions of board members. These thugs begin printing money, which they make available to people who wish to borrow it. They receive a small amount in interest, a rate which they set for the banks over which they have control. If there is $1 million of money available in the kingdom, these robbers will print up an extra $2 million. Just take a random number. Okay? So there's $1 million of currency in the kingdom. These thugs print up $2 million.
Okay.
Okay? Follow me so far. Now, as a king, you wish to own more property or control more assets around the kingdom. You want to increase your annual budget or what have you. So you purchase the property and the businesses of the kingdom, and you increase your budgets. On what basis? How do you do this? Well, you must issue bonds, and bonds are IOUs, and you pay a small amount of interest, like 2% to people stupid enough to buy your bonds. You can also borrow money from the private money printing business run by the board of thugs you appointed at a small amount of interest, say 2%. Once you've collected about $1 million of debt, you can quickly buy up property and assets in the kingdom with all that money. The good news is that everything you bought just increased in value from $1 million to $3 million because of all the money printing going on. And everybody who lent you money just lost 67% of the value of their money on the value of the bond. Anybody who bought one of your savings bonds for $100 lost $67 in value But the interest they get paid isn't even close to the value they've lost on their money. You can also get your high-flying business friends involved in this, too, and they can be part of the scam to impoverish all the rest of the quote-unquote dumb citizens of your kingdom. Well, Bill, it's a scam.
It sounds like a scam to me.
It's a high-level scam.
It smells like a scam. It walks like a scam. Must be a duck.
The Federal Reserve Board, the Treasury Department, the economists that run this country, friends, are scam artists. They work at a pretty high level. And by the way, the huge increases of money released into the economy and expansion of debt is a sneaky way to cheat and to steal. The wealthiest billionaires profit the most from it. In 1980, the wealthiest 400 families in the United States held 2% of the nation's wealth. Okay? These families increased their share of that wealth to 8% in 2008, then up to 20% in 2021. Most of the wealth came by government funneling money into the economy, which increased the value of stocks. For example, Elon Musk's increased his wealth from $25 billion to, well, now it's probably $200 billion by now. It's $125 billion in the year 2020. Some say closer to a trillion. He was forecasted to be the world's first trillionaire just about 2 weeks ago. This huge increase in wealth comes by several means. First, certain big companies receive government bailouts and special rebates, but also the Federal Reserve in cahoots with the federal government puts money into stocks, which increases the value of these companies and so forth and so on. It goes. Well, Isaiah 1 speaks to this. Listen to this. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Bill, if you would say a society is out there killing roughly 57% of its babies, it's violating the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, at a wholesale level never experienced by any society in the history of mankind. And it's a society that has endorsed sexual perversion to the point of endorsing perverted forms of marriage for the first time in all of human history. So if they're breaking the sixth commandment wholesale, they're breaking the seventh commandment wholesale. What do you think they're doing with the eighth commandment? Just wild guess. Give me a wild guess on that one.
Let's go back to wholesale.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It's full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silvers become dross. Your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. You know, I think we've become a nation of scam artists. Bill, I think we've become a nation of scam artists. Those trying to get more government money for themselves are playing into the scams. Everybody grabbing for the forced redistribution of the wealth become part of the scam artists. You know, there are a lot of people receiving government subsidies. We're talking about agricultural concerns. We're talking about, remember that one little thing about not raising hogs. Remember the guy who was going into the not raising hogs business?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of agricultural subsidies going on since roughly the 1930s. There's a lot of subsidies flowing into small business, a lot of subsidies flowing into these large organizations. We've talked about that already. We've talked about the billions upon billions of dollars of subsidies and tax rebates given to certain companies. And, of course, you've got, you know, some 40, 50, 60% of Americans at any given point in time grabbing after welfare redistribution. So we become a nation of scam artists. Now, one thing you have to understand about doing business with scam artists, you think you can play the system better than they can, but the smartest scam artist wins until the whole system comes crashing down and God will bring it down. So the point is, friends, there are several things that we can do at this point. Number one, let's be sure that we are rooting and grounding ourselves on the principles of God's word, especially when it comes to the matter of honest money. Now, I'm writing a book on this that hopefully will be helpful for, well, I'm targeting the 14-year-old audience, but I'm hoping that this will be helpful for homeschool audiences all across America.
It'd be great for families.
Yeah, for families to kind of get up to speed on the biblical principles related to honest money and things of this nature. But also, I think we should focus in on the major issues. Don't focus in on who shot Kennedy, Bigfoot, and other dumb conspiracy theories. These are only diversions from the highest level crimes and misdemeanors that are going on out there. Are you with me here, Bill?
Yeah.
I think it's easy for us to be diverted devoted to, you know, the QAnon and the crazy stuff, and focused maybe just a little bit too much on the Maxwell trial and things like that. Don't pay any attention to Fox News. Okay, you can catch a story now and then, but 99% of Fox News is a waste of time. It's just diverting us to stupid stories that have nothing to do with what I've been covering on this edition of the program.
You mean the second part of the program is not going to be about Bigfoot?
No, we're going to miss. We're going to miss on that. No. We're not going to go to Bigfoot on this edition. So, and understand also the roots of these evils. It's easy for us to point fingers here, Bill, but I think it's important for us also to step back and say, you know, I think we have become a nation of scam artists. We're fighting for our own tax rebates. We're trying to find our own fair share, but who knows what a fair share is unless we go back to a flat tax? And I'll get to that in just a moment.
Right.
So, friends, understand the roots of these evils: covetousness, money loving. People want to get rich quick. Selfishness. This is what characterizes our world today. I'm not just talking about Democrats here. I'm talking about Republicans as well. You know, it's interesting that the Democrats and the socialists have had a fair amount of control over our economy over the last, say, 30 to 40 years. We're talking about guys like President Obama, President Biden, et cetera, et cetera. But this was exactly the period of time in which the richest 400 families in America went from 2% of the nation's wealth to 20% of the nation's wealth, while the lowest 50% of the American households are pretty much even. They're down around 1% of the nation's wealth. So they've been pretty much even around 1% to 2% of the nation's wealth since the 1980s. They haven't seen an increase. Rather, what you're seeing is a massive collection of wealth on the part of the richest 400 families in America. So what you're seeing is a fair amount of redistribution of the wealth into the wealthiest hands. So it comes back to Animal Farm. You know, we start out with this great proposition, and the Democrats all crowd in and say, let's redistribute all the wealth through welfare programs and such, because, you know, it's all about equality here. Everybody is equal, but always turns out that some are more equal than others. And that's the way these things always work. Some are more equal than others, and that's the way the system goes over and over again, unless we come back to biblical principles. So, friends, here's one more thing. Seek to grow your assets, not by debt, but by adding value. You see the difference there. The get-rich-quick crowd says, we're going to take advantage of all of this inflation by debted investments in real estate and other concerns. Well, my suggestion is don't grow with the crowd to do evil. Don't be taking advantage of this system along with your buddy the king, but rather grow your assets by adding value. By investing in profitable exercises, by investing into tooling, by investing into adding employees to your business and providing more services to others. That's the way to grow a business, not by debt. Debt is a get-rich-quick scheme, and that's not for Christians. Then fourthly, give charitably to those who are in need. Now, welfare recipients are going to be stealing things and redistributing things and seeking the redistribution of the wealth into their own pockets. I'm not talking about welfare recipients. I'm talking about assisting those who are truly in need and are not running out to get involved in the redistribution schemes. So find those who are truly poor, who you could help within your own church community. And then finally, Christians should press for a flat tax. Everybody should be paying the same amount in taxation. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. That was the basic principle produced when it came to public works projects provided for by the community in Old Testament Israel. So that's the principle that comes from God, who understands the principles of justice when it comes to putting together community projects like this. Again, the rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, Exodus 30 and verse 15. Marxism has encouraged class envy, in which the poor hate rich people for their riches. And the Communist Manifesto included, quote unquote, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax as the second plank for its agenda. So keep that in mind. You say, well, where did all of this progressive taxing come from? Well, it came from the Communist Manifesto. When producing a public works project, God's Word recommends that everybody pay a flat amount of taxes. So if the U.S. government needed $725 billion to fund its military in 2021, then every person in America should pay $2,070. A family of four would have to pay about $8,000 per year to keep the military going. That comes out to about 12% of the average family income in America, assuming the median household income's $68,000 per year. So this is just a simple concept here. I'm just presenting a simple. Well, you say, well, the federal government couldn't do much more than a military if that was the case, because the average family in America couldn't give more than $2,000 per person.
Exactly the point.
And they wouldn't be able to do welfare. They couldn't do Social Security. They couldn't do any of that. Well, great. Fantastic. All they could do would be a military.
They would be limited to the jurisdiction laid out in Scripture to administer justice.
A lot of people out there are going, well, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should go back to a biblical system. That's what I'm saying. Of course, governments fund far more than a military these days, and the state and local governments collect sales taxes, income taxes, property taxes as well. But if governments were focused on their God-given roles, they would not need to take much more money from their citizens. The rich would not have to pay more than $2,070, and the poor would not have to pay less than $2,070. So, friends, that's the deal. That's what the Scriptures have to say about taxation. And there's so much more to say, but it's interesting. How much did governments take from the people's income? Well, the Roman sales tax ran about 1% in 30 AD, around the time of Christ. People said, 1%? Wow, we're upwards of 50 to 55% in America today. Well, America is about 50 times more tyrannical than the Romans were in 30 AD. The Roman sales tax in 444 AD, by the time the Roman Empire was about to collapse, was 4.5%. So, you know, got a little too tyrannical and the whole thing came down. That's the way it typically runs. Then King Henry VIII taxed his people to 1.6%. Some people don't like monarchy. They go, oh, monarchy, bunch of tyrants. Well, Bill, contrast 1.6% with 55%. What do you get? You know, I mean, come on, my friends. United States in 1780...
It's still over half bad.
...was about 2%.
Yeah.
So the United States in 1780 was 2%. In 1880, it was 3%. Now, today, it's about 50%. France is running 62%. Norway is running 58%. Costa Rica's at 55%. Sweden's at 53%. Germany taxes its people to 51%. Japan is around 47%. Saudi Arabia is one of the best places at 40%. And Russia is down at 39%. So where would you want to live? Well, friends, to get a better idea of the flow of economic theory, I'd encourage you to our book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and specifically the chapters on the rise and fall of the Western economy and the rise and fall of Western liberties. Those chapters really tie directly into the trends of what has happened in putting together the greatest tyrannies the world has ever known. Get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.